Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Paskachade Sitarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishanka Vitamstha Panchakalpa Trubhascha Kipasindavi Avatapati Janam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So today is the 4th of February 2022 at the VIHE, and we are going to be looking at Reverential Devotion of the Sons, Nectar Devotion. This is from the end of chapter 39 and all of chapter 40. So we're in the Rupa Goswami's Western Ocean of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And we want to acknowledge especially Bhanu Swami's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and David Haberman's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Also got help from Vijay Somasundaram, Hari Parshad, and Radhananda Maharaj. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu means the mellow or relationship of devotion, this nectar, eternal ocean. And we're in servitude. This is part three that we're discussing of servitude. Said this is the end of chapter 39 and all of chapter 40, which corresponds to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3-2-143-178. We're just going to review the two types of servitude because here we're looking at the second type. So what we studied in the last two classes was Sambrahma Priti. That's a recipient of mercy who acts as a servant. We studied the various subtypes. There were four main subtypes, and then there were subtypes of the subtypes. That was Nectar Devotion, chapters 36 and most through most of 39. Now, Gaurava Priti, which is the topic of this section, is a particular type of reverential servant who's part of Krishna's family or identifies him or herself as part of Krishna's family, someone who has the Lord's parental affection. And Rupa Goswami gives this for every one of these five primary staibhavs. He basically says the same thing, that when you mix the rati, when you mixed the staibhav with the other bhavas, with vibhava, with sattvika bhava, anubhava, vyabhichari bhava, then you get rasa. So rasa means you have all five of these bhavas. Then he defines Gaurava Priti. And this is more intimate than Sambrahma Priti. In general, in this Western Ocean, Rupa Goswami is going from less intimate to more and more intimate rasas. So the first rasa was neutrality, that has no intimacy at all. And then dasya, and then within dasya, he describes degrees of intimacy, right? Like the appointed servants, those who are under the Lord's protections, those who are in the Lord's associates, and those who are the Lord's followers. Each of those was more intimate. Now, this kind of dasya ras is even more intimate because the devotee doesn't see the Lord just as a protector and maintainer, as a master, but as a father or older brother. So if we can think about this, in our own life, how we see our father or how we see an older brother or an older uncle, some older male family member who takes care of us, a grandfather also, that's different from how we might see an employer. We might have an employer who's, we feel, under their shelter and their protection, but it's not intimate like a family member. Or even if it's not exactly an employer, like those of us who are living in an ashram, like here I'm living in an ashram at a temple, so the local GBC, I'm under the protection and the care of the local GBC. But it's not as intimate as I felt with my father, or I had older brother-in-laws. So that was a much closer relationship, although there's still this mood of protection. Now, we'll look at this a little later in the presentation, but Gaurava means related to the parent as guru. If any of you know Sanskrit, so u expands as au, like we have Kunti and Kaunteya. So related to the parent. And so the desire of a person in this rasa wants to act with God as a father, older brother, grandfather, uncle, in some way, to see the Lord as a superior family member. Jiva Goswami, this is from Jiva Goswami's commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.166. Now, of course, in neutrality rasa, one also can see God as the father. And one sees God as the father as Paramatma. Paramatma, Shirdakshai Vishnu, is the father of the universe, but there's no intimacy. And so, as we studied in the neutral rasa, that there are many people in the world in many different religious systems who could be said to be in this neutral rasa, yes, and who might be seeing God as the father of the universe. Mm-hmm. So I'd like us to think about what is the difference, and someone asked this question also, what is the difference between this Gaurava Priti rasa, where one sees Krishna as your literal father? You know, one of Krishna's queens is your mother, and Krishna's your father, or Krishna's your grandfather, or Krishna's your uncle, or Krishna's your older brother as a family member, and praying to the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Father of the universe. So we're going to go into a breakout room right now, and I'd like you to discuss, and then come back and let me know. We're going to do 10 minutes in a breakout room to discuss what is this difference between seeing God as the father in this rasa of servitude and seeing God as the father, he's the Supreme Lord, he's the father of everything. So we'll take a 10-minute breakout room.
Recording in progress.
Okay, before we discuss that, I want to go into a related topic and then we can discuss both of them together. So the Srila Prabhupada writes about surrender. So there's six symptoms of surrender, and they're described a little differently in different places, especially one of them. But to accept whatever's favorable for devotional service, to reject whatever is unfavorable for devotional service, to believe that Krishna will always give you protection, to identify yourself with Krishna's devotees, and that can also be explained as to feel that Krishna will always maintain you. Mm-hmm. The ability to always feel the inability without the help of Krishna, and to always think oneself inferior to Krishna, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own. So these symptoms of surrender are supposed to be cultivated even by the devotee in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. At the same time, at a very advanced level, this consciousness that I'm always protected by Krishna, is called reverential devotion, the sense of being protected. And this is executed in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and with his other protected devotees. So this is kind of introduction to Vibhava that Prabhupada's talking about. In Vibhava, one is feeling this way in connection with Krishna in a particular way, and then with, that's the Vishaya, and with the Ashraya, the other devotees who have a similar mood. All right, so I want to take a few minutes just to discuss these two points, to discuss the difference, what you discussed in your groups, that the difference between thinking of Krishna as a superior family member, particularly like a father, and the general mood of worshiping God as father, and also the difference between this surrender of the sadhaka, even the vaidhi sadhana sadhaka, where I see the Lord always as my protector and maintainer, and the rasa of those in dasya ras, where they're seeing the Lord as always my protector. So we can have some discussion time on these points. Any thoughts? Please raise your hand. If nobody has any thoughts, we can go on. But does anyone have any thoughts? Anything from your breakout rooms or Kasturika?
Hey, Krishna Mataji. So we were discussing the difference between the God acting as a father and someone thinking, someone seeing just as a Supreme Lord as a father. So in one relationship where someone is considering Krishna as his father, there is intimacy in the relationship. But on the other hand, there is only awe and reverence. And also, there is reciprocation. That means reciprocation and experience can be met when there is meeting and separation. On the other hand, there is no reciprocation. And there is reciprocation, but there is no experience of meeting and separation.
It's funny about you say no experience of meeting and separation, because in the neutral rasa, we do have hidden and visible, which is a kind of meeting and separation. But certainly for like ordinary religionists who are just worshiping God as the Father, is certainly not at least that personal meeting and separation. Thank you. Mahalakshmi?
Hare Krishna. Well, I remembered one verse from Bhagavad Gita where it says that that when one has a well, the water of the ocean, all the water, so what can a little well provide to one? No? So this allegory of having a little puddle of water or well of water and the whole ocean as a provider of water. So similarly, when one sees the Lord as protector, what is the fear? There is no fear. Fear goes away. So that's very reaffirming our steps in Krishna consciousness, being conscious that there is no lacking, that everything is provided and we are protected.
What would you think is the difference between practicing devotees who are practicing this surrender of seeing the Lord as my protector and this view of like Krishna's sons and grandsons and younger brothers and the servants even, that they see the Lord as their protector? What would be the difference between that in a rasa and that as a sadhaka?
In a rasa is a personal exchange. Is the child sees the father as the utmost. There is complete security. There is no scarcity and there is no security and there is no concern for what's happening around. And the other way, what I can see right now is that it's like having a policeman. A policeman is also the protector, but when is he available? Of course, the Lord is always available. Yet, I see that in the rasa, there is no need of struggle, but for a sadaka, there is a struggle. Mm. There is the need of endeavoring to achieve that protection.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rukmini. Thank you.
Yes, so one thing that we discussed in our breakout room is that if the Lord is one's father and, or, you know, so one is in this Gaurava Preeti, then one might be comfortable actually like asking, oh, can I please have this? One might, you know, be a little more demanding than if one just thinks that, you know, God is the father of everybody. And so something that, I mean, so that I would just put that just now is that one has more mamata, the feeling that, that God is mine.
That's very significant, because one of the things that was brought out in the neutral rasa is that there's no mamata at all. There's no sense that God, and I think you really hit the nail on the head here with this, Rukmini, that there's no sense that God is my father. God is just the father. Whereas here in Gaurava Preeti, God is my father, or my grandfather, or my older brother, or my uncle. There's a big mamata. This is my father. I grab onto his hands. I sit in his lap. You know, whereas just God, the Father. I mean, one might still ask. People ask God the Father for everything. So I'm not sure about the asking part. But as far as this sense of ownership, I think there's practically none in the in just this. I mean, neutral rasa, we're told there's none at all. And the neutral rasa is often attached to the Paramatma or to Lord Narayana as the Supreme Father. So I really think you hit it there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, when people ask God the Father without actually thinking of him as God the Father, I mean, you could ask a jackpot machine like in a casino for something. I mean, you can just see if you want to get it, but it's not, you're not really treating the person as a person.
Oh, all right. That's also, I think that's also very deep. That, like Prabhupada said, the order supplier. You know, if I place an order on, I place an order online from Amazon, I'm not usually seeing it as a person. I'm not usually seeing that I'm asking Jeff Bezos to send me something. Right? It's not like a personal request. But if I, of course, my father's passed away, but, you know, if I wanted something from my father, it was very personal. Thank you. Prabhupada Priya?
Hi, Krishna. Yeah, many of the points I was thinking already mentioned, but in addition, is that when you think of Krishna as your own father, then it's like he's there, he's very much localized, you know, he's with you, he's here, or he's in the other room, or he's, you know, in Dwarka, or he's in Mathura. It's not like he's just somewhere out there. You know, like when a sadhaka calls out, Krishna, help me. It's like, where is Krishna? I mean, he's not, you're not seeing him. It could be he's in the sky. So, you know, that's our concept. He's in the sky somewhere. So it's very vague. That's one thing. And another thing is that there's not so much of an emotional connection. It's more of a question of faith. You know, I have faith that Krishna is there, he exists somewhere, somehow, and he will help me. Whereas with the Gaurava Preeti Bhaktas, it's not a question of faith, he's actually right there. You know, it's not a question of whether I believe or don't believe. It's like you can't deny he's right there, you have that relationship. And there's so much emotion. Like, I was going to mention also that Mahalakshmi gave that example of the police officer, that police officer also protects you, but you know, when you're the son and it's your father protecting you, it's like there's that emotion, there's like that warmth, and you'll run and grab his hand or jump into his lap, or you know, whereas the police officer, you're just very calm, excuse me, officer.
Yeah, I like that. Of course, in the neutral rasa, there is a lot of emotion, but for a sadhaka who's just seeing God as the father, there is going to be, it's going to be a predominance of, yes, just faith, because that is the definition of Vaidhisadhana Bhakti, that Vaidhisadhana Bhakti is primarily motivated by faith. Faith in the scriptures, faith in the guru, and then, you know, Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is primarily motivated by emotion. What to speak of a rasa, which is not in sadhaka, in sadhana at all. So even the neutral rasa has a lot of emotion. But for the sadhakas, the Vaidhi sadhakas, who are worshipping, oh God, you're the Supreme Father, there's not much emotional connection. Thank you. Okay, we can take Divi Simha Prabhu.
Hi, Vishnu Mataji. When I was reflecting in the discussion when Rukmini Mataji pointed out some point. So, in continuation of that, I was like reflecting that and God is a father and he has many sons. He has many sons and daughters. So, then in the intimacy and the connection, so it may be like he has so many sons and daughters. And then if like I am not there, so that sort of like insecurity, there is security that God is a father, but then there is little insecurity also, like God may, if Krishna is a father, he has so many sons and daughters, and so there cannot be like, he can at any time reject me, or something like that. So there is security, but there is also like one insecurity like in that way, which I am reflecting. And as a sadhaka, like the God as a father, when I was wondering, so I mean in the terms of the intimacy, like we all go to the Mangal Arati and other classes and other things in the temple program, so there are thousands of people, Krishna is having so many bhoga being offered, so what sin, like if Devasimha is not there for one day, so like does Krishna, I mean as a father misses, or like I miss Krishna as a father, like something like that, I was reflecting.
Thank you,
intimacy, personal connection.
Yes, I think you've really nailed it. I'm just going to take one more from Kamalini and then we have to move on. Thank you so much. That was very insightful. Kamalini?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, in regards to that, you know how Prajumna said that Samba, you're so fortunate because you crawl upon the lap of our Father Krishna, even though your body's all covered in dust, but I'm so unfortunate and all, because he did not get to be with Krishna as a baby, as a young child. But just one little difference, it seems like in the Gaurapriti, there's also more opportunity for service. Instead of just always seeing Krishna, or God rather, as the order supplier, you know, we can think most prayers are asking, give me this, give me this, give me this. But then naturally, when you're in the presence of someone, you are serving them, even without considering that it's service or any kind of austerity, just natural service due to proximity.
Well, I'm so glad that I decided that I was going to ask you for your contribution and not cut off the contributions at the point that we, right before you. Because what did you just bring out? That Gaurapriti is part of Dasyaras. And that it's a category of Dasyaras, in fact, it's the very intimate category of Dasyaras. Whereas when sadhakas, when Vaidhi sadhakas see the Lord as Father, there's no service. Not that there's no service, but there's not so much of a mood of service as more of a mood of taking. God the Father, please supply me. God the Father, please supply me. And even the rasa of neutrality, it doesn't really have service. Oh, God is just the Supreme Father. What does he need from me? Whereas in this Gaurapriti, it's a category of Dasya Bhav. So the mood is, God is my father, I should serve him. God is my older brother, I should serve him. God is my uncle, my grandfather, I should serve him. So, wow, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, we're going to move on here. My apologies to those we didn't get a chance. Somehow that didn't work. All right, we're going to try this again. Yes. There we go. Okay. So now we're going to look at the Vibhava. And again, Rupa Goswami has the same template for each of these rasas. So the Vibhava is about alambana, the basic stimulus, which is the Vishaya Krishna, the Ashraya, the shelter of the rasa, people in a similar mood, and Udipana, the stimulants. So we're going to look first at Vishaya, then Ashraya, then Udipana. So looking at Vishaya in Gauravapriti, so Krishna's form, that when Krishna was residing in Dwarka, some of the elderly members of the Yadu family would occasionally put some important matter before him. At such a time, Krishna would carefully give attention to those matters. So those who were Krishna's subordinates in the family would notice how much respect Krishna was being given by the elderly family members. And therefore they're thinking, wow, my father, again, older brother, uncle, grandfather, he's so respected. He's so respected that even the elders ask his advice. Now, while we're going through this, please be taking some notes, because we're going to be discussing in breakout rooms about this, in the Vibhava, about the Ashraya and the Vishaya and the Ashraya. And this is also what stimulates those in Gauravapriti. If there were some humorous topics mentioned, Krishna would immediately respond with a smiling face. How loving and caring he is. That sometimes when Krishna was executing his duties in the assembly house, he would ask the elderly members for good advice. So again, noticing how respectful my father is, how caring he is, even though he's the Supreme Lord, those in Dasya Ras generally understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Even though he's the Supreme Lord, he's asking the elderly members for advice. So Krishna is manifest as the Supreme Spiritual Master, Supreme Executive Head, Superior Intelligence, Supreme Power, Protector, and Maintainer. And the Krishna's qualities, again, as we've discussed many times, so Krishna's qualities, when seen as part of Krishna, are in the category of alambana, vishaya, and when Krishna's qualities are seen in and of themselves, they're in the quality of udipana. So Krishna, who's such a great father, is in vishaya, it's alambana, it's a basic impelling, basic stimulant for the rasa. And if you just think, wow, look at the fathering that Krishna is doing, and then it becomes an udipana. So Krishna is such a great father. And again, that could also be older brother, grandfather. He has great fame. So one's really like proud of Krishna. Wow, look how famous he is. Look how famous my father is. Look how intelligent my father is. How strong my father is. How much he's protecting his children, how much he's caressing his children and being affectionate to his children. So this is the particular way of seeing Krishna that those in Gauravapriti have, that stimulate their love for him. Now those in other rasas, that's not what they're focusing on. Now you can understand that those in conjugal rasa, who are Krishna's queens, they might also find the fact that Krishna is a great father to their children as stimulating their conjugal affection for him. Those who are Krishna's parents, they might also feel that Krishna being a great father to his children stimulates their parental mood, right? I mean, when I see my children being good parents, that I feel parental love for them as good parents, or anyone who's married, when you see that your spouse is a good parent to your mutual children, you feel more love for your spouse. So some of these could also be part of the Vishaya for the other rasas, but they're not going to be the dominant stimulus. Whereas here in this rasa, it's very dominant. Now we're going to look at Ashraya. Ashraya, again, are the other devotees in a similar mood that stimulate our mood. So those who are Krishna's sons, their love for Krishna as their father is stimulated by their siblings. Now, we had a question of this, that there's the general servants who are under the Lord's protection, and those in the Gaurava Priti. So in the Sambrahma Priti, there was a specific category of those who consider themselves under the Lord's protection. And here we have in Gaurava Priti, they're also under the Lord's protection. So a little distinction here. And a distinction here is that the servitors in Dwarka, they always worship Krishna as the most respectable and revered personality. They're captivated because of his super excellent opulence, as I have such a wonderful master. And here it's mentioned in Dwarka, but this would also be true in a little lesser extent for the servants in Vraja, because the servants in Vraja have at least a little tinge of friendship, and their reverence for Krishna is not always because he's God, but it may just be that he's the son of Nandamars, he's the prince of Vraja. Now here in Gaurava Priti, those who always thought themselves protected by Krishna could show a practical demonstration, because it was sometimes found that the sons of Krishna acted very unlawfully, but were nonetheless given full protection by Krishna and Balaram. So we had a question about this, and you know, this is a very fascinating concept. In the material world, this is considered a very bad quality. So let's say, you know, your father is the chief of police, and you commit some, or political figure, and you commit some crime, and because that's your father, you don't get into trouble. I mean, this thing happens in the world all the time. You know, or some kid is the child of a very wealthy and influential person, and the child commits some crime. And because the child's father is very influential and rich or politically placed, the child doesn't get into trouble, or they get into very minor trouble. You know, the parent comes and posts bail, and the parent gets the best lawyer, and the kid never gets into trouble. So this is considered an awful thing. You know, we say that, hey, you should make sure that your child gets punished if they're guilty. You know, if your enemy's innocent, they shouldn't get punished, and if your child's guilty, they should get punished. One should be equal poised. Well, the Lord is equal poised as Paramatma. As Paramatma, he's neutral. He says, no one is my friend, no one is my enemy. He's neutral. But in Rasa, he's not neutral at all. So in Rasa, if you're one of Krishna's intimate family members, then he's going to protect you even when you act unlawfully. And this is a kind of protection that goes even beyond that of the servants. So it's a special feature of this Gaurava Priti. And the primary example I can think of is Samba. And there's two instances with Samba. One is where he kidnapped Lakshmana, and Lakshmana didn't want to marry him. And this story always bothered me. I never liked this story, because the fact that Samba was able to kidnap a woman who didn't want to marry him, she wasn't inclined towards him. And still, when Samba kidnapped her, Balaram went to try to negotiate with the Kurus, and they weren't into it. They weren't going to negotiate with him. And he almost destroyed the whole city. I mean, of course, also the social mores at the time was that Lakshmana couldn't marry anyone else. That once Samba had kidnapped her and had a relationship with her, she couldn't be married to anyone else. So there was no question of just saying, well, we're going to punish Samba and Lakshmana will marry someone else, as would be the case today. So we have something Avinitas put in the chat. Sometimes the example of Krishna killing Bulbasaur is given to show the opposite, how the Lord kills even his own son as if he is a wrongdoer. All right, but there was a big difference with Bulbasaur and Sumba. So what was the difference between Bulbasaur and Sumba? Is that Bulbasaur was no longer acting in an affectionate relationship as the Lord's son. And so I'm really glad you brought this up, Vinita. So Sumba was still acting in an affectionate relationship as the Lord's son. In fact, it's interesting also that Krishna has his favorites in Rasa. So in Rasa, his favorite queen is Satyabhama, and in Rasa, his favorite children are the children of Jambavati. So he has his favorites. Again, in the material world, this is considered awful, right? If you have your favorite. Yes, Sumba is under Bhagavad Gita at 9:30. Yes, Bulbasaur is not. Bulbasaur had cut off his affectionate relationship with the Lord. He'd associated with demons, and he'd become a rebellious son. So in the level of rasa, it's not so much about whether you do something right or wrong, but to what extent you're having an affectionate relationship with Krishna. And again, I'm going to say, materially, this is abominable. But it goes on, doesn't it? I mean, it happens all the time in the world. That if somebody is in an affectionate relationship with you under your protection, especially as a family member, and you're powerful, you're going to protect them, and you're going to give them special dispensation that you're not going to give others. You are going to show favoritism. And if you remember way back, previously in the Southern Ocean, we were discussing Krishna's qualities, and you know, there was the discussion of the faults, that Krishna's free of faults, and Jiva Goswami had that long commentary that of the 18 faults, Krishna has 16 of them in prema. And one of them is, you know, that he favors his devotees. And yes, it's the origin of nepotism. It is. Just like Krishna's relationship with the gopis who are married to other people. So this is the... That is, in ordinary society, of all the kinds of adultery, the worst kind of adultery is for a single man to be having a relationship with a married woman. That's the worst form of adultery. So that's what Krishna does. I mean, we don't say to the public who come to our temples, you know, there on the altar is God and there's his girlfriend who's actually married to somebody else. We don't put it like that because people would be scandalized. But that's where it is. That's the reality. So these things that we see in this world, even the seeming negative things, they have some reality in the Lord. But in the Lord, it's very sweet that, you know, Krishna is my father. Krishna is my older brother. I know that even if I do something wrong, Prabhupada says very unlawfully, I know that even if I do something wrong, he's going to protect me. Now, that's very different from a sadhaka who commits the greatest offense. The greatest offense, Prabhupada will often say, is sinning on the strength of chanting. So thinking, well, you know, I'm doing devotional service and therefore I can sin and Krishna is going to protect me. So it's not like that. But these protected family members, they have such a sense that Krishna is protecting me, that they become very fearless. So Rukmini is also making another point. This protection also has a limit, that the next time Sumba did something wrong, the next one he was teasing the sages. Actually, I think it was not the next time. I'm not sure. Because I think that, you know, the time when he kidnaps Lakshmana, he's a grown man. And when he's teasing the sages, I think he's just a little boy. But anyway, yeah, that time Krishna didn't protect him. All the Yadus were destroyed because of that. And I mean, I don't know, but it could be because in that case it was an offense against the Brahmanas, and that Krishna doesn't, you know, he's not going to protect you if you offend the Brahmanas. So there is a limit. I mean, there is a point at which, you know, okay, sorry kiddo, you did something wrong, you're staying in jail. Are there backbiting politics and ghastly form of corruption and power lobbies in the spiritual world? But there's no malice, and there's no selfishness. There's only love. There's only love. Yeah, Akura also is an example. And Akura is not even in Gaurvapriti. Well, I mean, Akura is an interesting person because he's an uncle of Krishna, so he's a superior family member, but he's in the mood of being a subordinate. Yeah, he did a very wrong thing because he was involved in the murder of Satyajit, and then he took the Shamantaka jewel like that. So, yes, Devasimha, everything that we find in this world, even the nasty things, have some form in perfection. And of course, you know, we might think like, whoa, then, you know, let me just merge into the Brahman. And the fact that things in this world have a perfect state in the spiritual world, in personalism, is one of the main reasons why personalism is so difficult for people to understand. And one of the main reasons why most of the major religions of the world teach some form of impersonalism. And one of the reasons why in Srila Prabhupada's books, he's constantly interweaving philosophy into these stories so that we understand that this is not material, it's not malicious, it's not harmful. Nobody's actually getting harmed. I mean, my big problem with the Samba and Lakshmana story is, you know, did Lakshmana actually fall in love with Samba? Did she actually decide that, even though at first I didn't want to marry him, now that I'm with him, I see that he's a wonderful person, and I'm happy that that's never explained. So I always wonder about that. And here, I guess that's why we have to give it the mentality of dualities in order to become eligible for liberation, what to speak of prema. Yes. Yes, thank you, Vinita. That is so nicely said. And I also see that this is a block, a doorway. Trinada Pisa Nichena Taroiva Sahishnuna Amanidena Manadena Kirtaniya Sarahari. To never feel offended by anybody. You know, we usually focus on the don't offend others. Don't offend others, don't offend others, especially don't offend devotees. But the other side is don't feel offended by anybody. And this third verse of the Shikshastika, according to the Bhajanarahasya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is the stage of being nishta, which is being primarily above dualities, of seeing things as good and bad in the material world. I've been meditating on how the brahmanas tend to be above this, and the kshatriyas are really into it, dharma in the world. I mean, you can have a pure devotee kshatriya who does that as their duty, but this mood of justice and feeling offended and wanting vengeance and, you know, having the laws. Yes, that's also true, Prabhupada Priya. Yes, he also protected them ultimately by taking them to the spiritual world. Okay, we have to move on here. We could have, obviously, a whole week class on this point. Okay, types of ashraya. Those who think themselves subordinate to Krishna. Persons who think themselves sons of Krishna and Krishna's younger brothers and sisters. So subordinate to Krishna, again, in some kind of family relationship. And then actual sons, that would also include the grandsons, nephews, nieces, and the younger brothers and sisters. So the younger brothers and sisters were under the Lord's affectionate care. So we might say, well, how does Krishna have younger brothers and sisters? So the examples that Rupa Goswami gives are Sharanagata and Subhadra. They're the chief ones. So Vasudeva has 16 wives. So Devaki and then another 15. It's mentioned, you know, of course, Devaki's other children, Kamsa killed, except for Subhadra. And then the other wives had many children. And many of them were younger than Krishna and Balaram. So not only those children, but the children would get married. So that means that there were also brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law who would also be like Krishna's younger brothers and sisters. The spouses of your younger siblings are also kind of younger siblings. And then their children, their nieces and nephews, would also be in that category. All right, then among his sons, Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba are the chief sons. Now, Krishna also had many other sons and daughters. And then, of course, he would have sons-in-law who married his daughters, daughters-in-law who married his sons, then grandchildren, the spouses of his grandchildren, and their children. You know, just like my husband and I had three children, and they each have a spouse, and they each have children. And then I have a granddaughter who's got a spouse, and they have children. So those are all like my children. My children, my children-in-law, my grandchildren, my grandchildren-in-law, my great-grandchildren. If I live long enough, my great-grandchildren-in-law. I have a god-sister who has a great-great-grandson. So these are all in this subordinate family relationship. So Rupa Goswami says the children have more clothing, ornaments, qualities, and effulgence than the Parishads who are in Dasya Bhav. They have black, yellow, and white complexions, and they play in Dwarka. Now again, this is in the category of Ashraya. So these are the devotees also in Gauravapriti who act as stimulants for the devotees in Gauravapriti. So when Krishna's sons dine with him, they would sometimes open their mouths for Krishna to feed them. So again, if someone has this desire to have this relationship with Krishna, this would be very stimulating for them, thinking about, oh, just look at that. Look at how Samba's sitting on Krishna's lap, and Krishna's putting food in his mouth, and Krishna's feeding him. And sometimes when Krishna would pat one of his sons, the son would sit on Krishna's lap, and when Krishna was blessing the son's head by smelling it, the others would shed tears, thinking how many pious activities he must have performed in his previous life. So I'm sure there was competition, but there's again no malice. So one of the children is thinking, oh, my brother is so fortunate. My brother is so fortunate. Oh, that Krishna is patting him like that. And that is a stimulant for one's own love. So Pradyumna is considered to be the leader. What Rupa Goswami does for each of these waves is he picks one or two, usually just one, exemplar when he talks about Ashraya. Now, if someone's in Gauravapriti Rasa, their Ashraya might be a different son or a different brother or whatever, but Rupa Goswami is just giving a particular example. Now, we had a question about who is Pradyumna, and I couldn't find it yesterday, but when I was first reading Srila Prabhupada's books when I was a teenager, I came into this apparent contradiction that Pradyumna is sometimes described as Vishnu Tattva, one of the Chaturvyuha, and sometimes he's described as a Jiva, and in Prabhupada, quite clearly, like in one place he says Pradyumna is a Jiva, he's not Vishnu Tattva, and another place he says Pradyumna is Vishnu Tattva, he's not a Jiva. So I asked many, many, many senior Vaishnavas over the year, which is it? And the answer was that Pradyumna, the son of Krishna, is a Jiva, and he is he's eternally Krishna's son. He's also a manifestation of Kandarpa, Cupid, and he's married to Rati, the wife of Cupid. And he is empowered with the power of Pradyumna Vishnu Tattva. So there can be more than one name. It's just like we have people named Govinda, but they're not Govinda. They're a Jiva. We have a question in the chat about malice. Malice is where you want somebody to be harmed, where you take pleasure in someone else's pain. And to take pleasure in someone else's pain is, Prabhupada says this is a distinction between material and spiritual. that materially, when someone else is happy, I become unhappy, although he said we may say otherwise, and when someone is unhappy, I become happy, that I'm envious, I want more than others. I want others to have less than me. They can have something as long as it's less than me. And I want others to suffer. I mean, ultimate evil is when I really enjoy others suffering, and ultimate evil is when I enjoy causing others to suffer. And spiritually, that's completely absent. In spirituality, one is happy at others' happiness and unhappy at others' unhappiness. And we see this very clearly here. To be happy at others' happiness. Okay, so Prabhupada Priya says, Prajumna is Cupid, the Jiva merged into the Vishnu Tattva expansion of Prajumna from the Chaturvyuha. It could be explained that way, but Prajumna, Krishna's son, is not Vishnu Tattva, although there is a Prajumna that's Vishnu Tattva. And certainly Krishna's younger brother or sisters and his sons in general are not Vishnu Tattvas. It's not that all of Krishna's sons and siblings are Vishnu Tattva, the younger ones. Okay, so Prajumna's form, the crown jewel of the young Yadu princes, the killer of Shambhara, and often mistaken for Krishna because of his beautiful form, even mistaken by his stepmothers and his bhakti. So when Prajumna was kidnapping a wife, so of course Kshatriyas often had more than one wife, so he was married to Rati practically from his birth, but he was also kidnapping this other wife, and he was telling her how qualified he was, and he was glorifying his father. See in the sky the Lord of the Yadus, our Guru, the ocean of mercy, riding on Garuda, cared for by him with the greatest affection. I have attained such confidence that I defeated the ferocious Tripurari, who's Lord Shiva, in battle. We are running a little late. Like us in this breakout room, maybe we'll skip this. We're running late and just not going to do this. We'll just skip this. Okay, let's just take a break, 10-minute break. So please take a real break, get away from your phone, get away from your computer, get some fresh air, get something to drink, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. 10 minutes. We'll be back in 10 minutes. All right. Hope you had a good break.
Recording in progress.
So we have here in the chat the evidence that Prajumna and Aniruddha are Vishnu Tattva as the Chaturvyuha. And we have evidence given, okay, this is from Jiva Goswami. And also Srila Prabhupada saying this. There is another place, yes, in Prabhupada's Purport 1.14.30, there is another place, and I just didn't have time yesterday to find it, but I know it's there, where Prabhupada says that Prajumna is definitely Jiva Tattva, that Prajumna, the son of Krishna, is Jiva Tattva and not Vishnu Tattva. And I can't find it while I'm sharing my screen, but it definitely is also there. So, I don't know. My conclusion is, I don't know. And as I said, I've asked many senior devotees over the years. I never got a satisfying answer. Okay, going on to Udipana. And as we're going to be going through Udipana, Anubhava, Satvika Bhava, Vyavichari Bhava, and a bit of the Stai Bhava, please take notes. We're going to discuss this in a breakout room. I just say one other quick thing about Prajumna. Just like Balaram, Krishna's older brother, is also Vishnu Tattva. So certainly some of Krishna's sons or grandsons can be Vishnu Tattva. But that doesn't mean all of Krishna's family members are Vishnu Tattva. Most of them are Jivas. As far as Prajumna, I don't know. Maybe there's two different instances. One where Prajumna is Vishnu Tattva and one where he's Jiva Tattva. Maybe he's a Vaishya. Yes. Oh, here. All right. Somebody found it. Woohoo! Prema Tarangani found it. It is said that Cupid, and who is formerly burnt to ashes, right? Kama, who took birth from Rukmini, he cannot be the Prajumna of the Vishnu category, belongs to the category of Jiva Tattva, but for exhibiting special powers, He was a part and parcel of the superpowers of Prajumna. That is the verdict of the Goswami. That's from Krishna book. By the way, just a little side note, Prema Charangini, you can get a, if you're using the Vedabase on your computer, you can get a Unicode button so that you can copy things in Unicode and then you get proper diacritics. So that it seems to be that Prajumna, the son of Krishna, is the Jiva Cupid who's empowered by Prajumna of the Chantravyuha. That seems to be the answer, but it may also be that Prajumna and Aniruddha are Vishnu Tattva, fully and not Jiva, not empowered Jiva Tattva. I don't know, is my conclusion. After spending a lot of time when I was much, much, much younger, well, it's probably like 19, 20 years old, and I spent a lot of time on this question, and I wasn't able to come up with a satisfactory answer. That said, this is it. We can come up with several answers that might be it. Of course, that's the understanding if one uses proper Vaishnava hermeneutics. One can come up with several satisfactory answers, but not necessarily the one answer. Okay, Udipanas. So these are stimulants.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Mata.
Yes.
Please, I have some clarification. I want to make some clarification.
Yes.
That the Pradyumna, who is the son of Krishna and Rukmini,
yes,
is the same Pradyumna who is a member of Lord Krishna's eternal fourfold plenary expansion.
Is
that true?
Did you just miss the whole discussion that we just had? It just had a 5-minute discussion now and in the chat. And before the break, we had a 5 or 10 minute discussion. Were you not here?
Okay, it seems I wasn't there.
Okay, maybe you were not here.
But I thought this was part of the
Did you step out?
I didn't step out.
Okay, I'm confused because we just discussed that in the chat. Now and then previously. If it's still not clear to you, can I suggest that you look at what's in the chat, Prabhu?
Okay,
just review what's in the chat. My own conclusion is that there's statements both ways, that he is and that he isn't, that he is, he isn't, and he isn't, but he is at the same time. So that's just to confuse you further. My own personal conclusion is that there is not one right answer to that question. And why is there not one right answer to that question? Maybe there's more than one. In those sort of circumstances, we can be looking at more than one manifestation, where sometimes Krishna's son Prajumna is part of the Chatravyuha, sometimes he's an empowered Jiva. He's a Jiva who's empowered by the Chatravyuha. Sometimes he's a Jiva, and another way of understanding this is that different acharyas that will perceive things in different ways, and their perceptions are all in the mood of their rasa, and all of their perceptions are correct, although their perceptions may appear to contradict those in another relationship. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. That's the best that I can do. As I said several times, I ran into this apparent contradiction when I was very, very new in the Hare Krishna movement, in my study, and I wrote many letters in the days of snail mail. I wrote many letters to senior devotees asking them to try to resolve this apparent contradiction, and I had not found anybody who could give an absolute, this is the answer. I haven't found it. I found answers, but I have not found a the answer. And often in hermeneutics, we come up with answers, all of which are acceptable, and not necessarily the one answer, and the others are all wrong. All right, I will refer you that as part of making recordings available, the chats are also made available, so maybe you can go into that more later. All right, so Udipanas, the Lord's glance mixed with affection and smiling. So, of course, this could also be an Udipana for anybody, but particularly at the glance of this father, of the older family member. All right, well, if you didn't think we had enough fun talking about Prajumna, wait till we talk about this one. Oh my, so here we're going to run into another one. So here's an example that Rupa Goswami gives, and this is either Banu Swami's translation or David Haberman's translation. Seeing Krishna with his affectionate glance in front of him, Gada, with confused mind, offered his respects at Krishna's lotus feet. So Gada has already been given by Rupa Goswami as one of the primary ashrayas in Gaurava Priti, as one of Krishna's younger brothers. So what's the explanation here? That Vasudeva had many wives, he had 16 wives. Devaki and Rohini were the most important. This is from Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavatam 9.24 summary. From the womb of Rohini, Baladeva was born along with Gada, Sarana, Durmada, Vipula, Dhruva, not the Dhruva Maharaj of Uttanapada's son, Krita, and others. Vasudeva had many other sons by his other wives. So Balaram's full brother, full younger brother, is Gada, who is therefore a younger stepbrother of Krishna. And this Gaurava Priti, again, it applies not only to Krishna's children, but also to Krishna's younger siblings and Krishna's grandchildren and nephews and nieces and so forth. Younger family members who see Krishna as like a father figure. So here's an example given in Udipana of Gada offering respects. Yes? Okay. And now we're going to look at how Srila Prabhupada translates this same verse. This is from Nectar Devotion 40. The way Prabhupada translates it is, once when Krishna came before Lord Balaram, Krishna was anxious to offer his respects to his elder brother, but at that time Balaram's club was lower down upon Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, the club in Balaram's hand offered its own respects to Krishna, and Prabhupada mentions that Balaram wasn't aware that his club was offering respect to Krishna. So we have in the Sanskrit the words elder brother. So Banu Maharaj and David Haberman translate this as Gada is offering his respects to his older brother. Srila Prabhupada translates it as Krishna wanted to offer his respects to his older brother. So the name Balaram is not in the Sanskrit, just older brother. All right, then Banu Swami and David Haberman are translating Gada as Gada, the person who was previously mentioned by Rupa Goswami as an exemplar of this Gaurava Priti, the child of Vasudeva and Rohini. Srila Prabhupada is translating Gada as Balaram's club. So certainly in terms of the context, the translation as Gada as a younger brother offering down his respects to his elder brother seems the most relevant to the context. At the same time, Prabhupada's giving this other translation. Now, we had a number of questions. Wait, Balaram is the elder brother, and this Gaurava Priti is about younger family members. So I can give two possible explanations for this. We're not going to find, as far as I know, explanations from other, you know, it's not like, I don't know of any other acharyas who translated this particular verse in this way, nor would I know how to find such a thing. So first thing is that this Dasya Ras pervades all of the rasas. And as we've mentioned, one of the exemplars of Dasya Ras is Akura, who's Krishna's uncle. So sometimes those who are elderly family members, also Ugrasena has some Dasya Ras. So even sometimes the elderly family members of Krishna can have some mixture of Dasya Bhav. Now generally Balaram is not described like that. Balaram is described as having Sakya Bhav mixed with Vatsalya Bhav. And Vatsalyabhav is diametrically opposed to Dasyabhav. Dasyabhav, one considers oneself a subordinate of Krishna, and in Vatsalyabhav, one considers oneself a superior to Krishna. Krishna is the subordinate. So it seems to be an incompatible situation that someone who's a superior considers himself a subordinate. But it does sometimes happen, even in our ordinary worldly experience, that there are some times when a parent may feel subordinate to a child. It does happen, or a teacher may feel subordinate to a student. So that's one possibility here. Another possibility that I considered was that the person offering Gauravapriti respects is not Balaram, because Prabhupada says that it was unknowing on Balaram's part, but that what was offering respects was Gada, the club, that the paraphernalia, the weapons of the Lord are also persons, and that this club may have a relationship of Dasyabhav with the Lord, and it may have a relationship of Dasyabhav with the Lord as a family member. Now, my basis for this conclusion is the fact that Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he describes Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, all of whom are younger to him, that they are also manifestations. They can be understood not as Vishnu Tattva. Generally, we understand Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna as Vishnu Tattva. But Lakshman can be understood as Vishnu Tattva, as Seshanag. But then the other two brothers, Bharat and Shatrughna, are understood as Krishna's, I think, club and disc. So that there's also the club itself, Krishna's club itself, is also a younger family member. And Balaram, not realizing that his club was this younger family member, he didn't know that the club was offering obeisances. Yes, it says that Balaram becomes Lakshman. So Lakshman is described as Sesha, which is the same as Balaram. But Bharat and Shatrughna, not. And Daivasimha, Sudarshan Chakra can be conscious in Ambarish pastimes to protect them. If you look at the prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra in Ambarish's prayers, he prays to the Sudarshan Chakra as God. And yes, of course the weapons are all persons. Definitely. So those are my two explanations for this. I have no idea if they're right or not, but this was all I could come up with. I would tend to favor Bhanu Swami's translation because it's in the context in which Rupa Goswami is talking about this, it's more reasonable. But of course, Prabhupada's translation is also correct. So then it's a question of using hermeneutics to understand in what way it is also correct. Yes, Jiva Jara Narayana Jwara weapons are also people. Certainly, they have a conversation. All right, we're going on to Anubhava of Gauravapriti category of Dasyabhava. And again, Anubhava is intentional actions to show love, some with and without strong bodily movement. And these are some of the examples of Anubhavas given in the Southern Ocean. So some sort of physical or verbal expression of subordination are the Anubhavs. That's the essence of the Anubhavs in Gauravapriti. Sitting on a lower seat, following after Krishna, following Krishna's order, giving up their own wishes for Krishna. So sitting lower, the example given that when the demigods came to Krishna, that Krishna's sons were following them, and Lord Brahma was benedicting them, sprinkling water from his kamandalu. But instead of the sons sitting on golden chairs equal with Krishna, they sat down on the deerskin-covered floor. They took a subordinate position. Now, the Gauravapritis are also part of Dasyabhav, so they have Anubhavs in common with the others, with those in Sambrahma, and that is offering respects, keeping silent in front of the Lord, crouching down. That should have been in two categories. But I've got to fix that slide. Humility, carrying out the Lord's order, even if it means giving up their lives, lowering their heads, firmness, not laughing or coughing in front of the Lord, not listening to Krishna's private joking conversations. All right. So here, not listening to Krishna's private joking conversations is described as that they didn't discuss Krishna's pastimes in conjugal love. So, I mean, even in an ordinary family, the children don't talk about their parents' romantic affairs. And it's very distasteful for children to think about or talk about or hear about their parents' romantic sexual behaviors. It's very incompatible. So these younger members of Krishna's family, they also have this. And so Prabhupada says, devotees who engage in reverential devotional service should not discuss the conjugal affairs of Krishna. Now Jiva Goswami comments, it's not absolutely forbidden that they don't hear Krishna's private talks, but they're checked from understanding the sentiments present in those conversations. So, you know, we know that children like to see that their mother and father love each other, but when it becomes erotic, they don't, either they don't understand it or it's something that they're not into. Now, Srila Prabhupada does something very interesting here. Srila Prabhupada is making a comparison or with this reverential devotion of those in prema and sneha and raga with those who are reverential devotees in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti implies that there's reverence. And here we have devotees. These devotees in Gaurvapritti are not sadhakas. They are siddhas. And they're at prema or even higher levels of prema. And so Srila Prabhupada's saying, look, if the reverential devotees who are in prema don't talk about Krishna's conjugal affairs, so certainly Vaidhi Sadhana Bhaktas should be extremely careful. Srila Prabhupada grew up in an atmosphere where the Gaudiya Sampradaya had been given a bad reputation by Sahajiyas, by people who focused on Krishna's conjugal affairs with the gopis, and who themselves had very low character. They were themselves having illicit affairs, smoking, drinking, and so forth, and they really gave the Gaudiya Sampradaya a bad name. So we have a lot of admonitions from especially Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, who fought so much against this perversion of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And so Prabhupada has this statement here in Nectar Devotion, which we had a question about. No one should claim his eternal relationship with Krishna unless he is liberated. So I understand two meanings to this, claim and liberated. So claiming would be on the platform of siddha, where you're actually engaging in that relationship, and that would be liberated, then could be understood to be on the platform of at least bhava. However, there is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti that, by definition, has to occur before bhava, but that's not claiming one's relationship, that is practicing for one's relationship. Prabhupada writes, in the conditioned state of life, the devotees have to execute the prescribed duties as recommended in the codes of devotional service. So that's true whether one is in Vaidhi Sadhana or Raganuga Sadhana. Prabhupada says, when one is mature in devotional service and is a realized soul, he can know his own eternal relationship with Krishna. One should not artificially try to establish a relationship. So this is an extremely, extremely important point, that one should not just, and I remember, I've run into actually two devotees, I'm sure there's more, but I ran into two devotees who did this artificially. Well, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so long, it's time for me to have my higher realization. Well, I think I want to be a gopi. No, not like that. It needs to arise spontaneously. And once it arises spontaneously, which Prabhupada says usually happens at the end of an artanivritti, then one starts cultivating that in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. But until one's at the platform of bhava, one's not actually engaging in that relationship. One is simply practicing. Yes, so we had a question and answers in the chat, so I'm not going to answer that. All right, sattvic above. So again, what is a sattvic above? When the heart becomes overwhelmed by one's ratis, either directly or indirectly, there's a state called sattva that happens in the heart, which produces changes in the body, involuntary changes, unlike the anubhavas, which are voluntary. And the eight sattvika bhavas are paralysis, perspiration, horripilation, a choked voice, quivering, change of color, tears, and fainting. So there's just one example given. My dear Cupid, having seen the lotus feet of Mukunda, your body has become immobile, covered with perspiration, with hair standing on end. Your body is imitating a flowering thorn bush spread with snow. Of course, Cupid is Prajumna, and we're not discussing, again, who is Prajumna, but this is about Prajumna. Okay, Vyavichari Bhavs. So again, the Vyavichari Bhavs in Gaurava Priti. Vyavichari Bhavs are transitory emotions that combined with the Rati, with one's Stai Bhav, that produce Sattva, that produce Anubhavas and the Sattvika Bhavs. So, in servitude, Rupa Goswami simply says that all the Vyavichari Bhavs that were described for Sambrahma Priti manifest in Gaurava Priti. So they're not different. Obviously, they might manifest a little differently. And he gives a few examples of joy, harsha, that when the Kanch Panchajanya sounded, the hairs on the bodies of young Yadu princes in Dwarka began to dance with the dancers. And I really like that, that this horripilation is described as the hairs on the Krishna's children were dancing when they heard their father's conch shell. An example of disappointment that Prajumna is saying, and Kamalini was quoting that earlier in the class, oh, you know, Samba got the opportunity to be with my father, sit on his lap, and I didn't, because I didn't see my father from the time I was born until I grew up. Okay, what is the Stai Bhav? So the Rati of this rasa is this mentality, this feeling, the Lord is my protector, that I belong to him as his son or daughter or younger brother, younger sister. So this word Gaurava Priti, what is the meaning of the word Gaurava Priti? So Guru Di means thinking that the person is one's father. So a desire to do service with one's body is Sambrahma Priti, which means eagerness. But identifying yourself as the object of parental affection is Gaurava Priti. So that's the basic mood. And this meaning again, Guru Di, Krishna is protecting me, caressing me from a bodily relationship. I'm like his infant child. And what does Priti mean? Priti means adoration, thinking of him as a parent or older brother. So putting it together, Gaurava Priti means desiring to be caressed and cared for by the Lord in the role of a parent or older brother. So this is much more intimate than Sambrahma. So to regard Krishna as one's superior is a reverential feeling, and when in addition to this, a devotee feels Krishna is my protector as my family member, not just my protector as my master. So this increases one's transcendental love. It increases the intimacy, and as Rupa Goswami discusses it for all of the waves of this of the Western Ocean, what are the increases? So the increases in Gaurava Priti are prema, sneha, and raga. And again, the definition of prema is when one's love is fixed, when there's a conception that it cannot decrease, and the anubhavas are complete attachment to the Lord. And this prema example, that Krishna, that Prajumna could not open his mouth in order to speak to his father, he did not lift his tear-filled eyes. He threw only furtive glances at Krishna's lotus feet. Now we had a question that is this because it's in Dwarka, that there's such extreme reverence? Or is there such extreme reverence because of a different idea of father than we have in the modern Western world? In the modern Western world, one's relationship with father is not at this extreme. In fact, Krishna tells, we'll see this a little later, Prajumna, you don't have to be so reverential. There was a question asked as to whether or not there's anyone in Gaurava Priti in Vraja. And I thought it was an interesting question because in one sense we could say in Vraja everything is there. And certainly there are those in Dasya Bhav, in Sambrahma Priti, in Vrindavan, like Raktak and Patrak, although they have a tinge of friendship. And my answer is, I don't know if there's anyone in Gaurava Priti in Vraja. Now, we do know that it states in Bhagavatam that 15 of Vasudeva's wives were hiding in Vraja, or were staying in Vraja. Only Devaki was in Mathura with Vasudeva during Kamsa's reign. And during that time, of course, Rohini gave birth to Balaram. So could she was able to visit her husband in Mathura and become impregnated by him and stay in Vrindavan. So is it possible that some of the other 14 wives also visited their husband in Mathura and had children that were younger than Krishna and Balaram while they were in Vrindavan, and so there were other children, there were those in Gaurava Priti in terms of Krishna's younger brothers or sisters in Vraja? It's certainly possible, but I don't know of any evidence that it actually is the case, or that all of Krishna and Balaram's younger brothers and sisters were born later on in Dwarka. So we know Subhadra was born later on in Dwarka. I really don't know as far as Vasudeva's other wives. There's some information given in the Bhagavatam of some of the names of these children, but that's all. And obviously Krishna has no children himself when he's in Vraja. Okay, an example of this, of prema, is of Subhadra, Krishna's younger sister, where Arjuna tells Krishna, although Abhimanyu was killed almost in your presence, Subhadra's love for you is not agitated at all, nor has it slightly changed its original color. So we had a question here. Oh yes, and Vinita's brought this up, and I'm so sorry, Vinita, you actually brought this up personally, and I'm so sorry. I forgot to bring it up. Krishna's uncles have children. Yes, yes. So let's just go back there. So Vinita brings up the fact that Nanda Maharaj's brothers have children, which would be Krishna's nephews and nieces. So Gaurava Priti definitely exists there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Vinita is my checker priest. So that's a service she does for me on a regular basis. Thank you, Vinita. I'm very indebted to you for that. So yes, there is actually evidence that there is Gaurava Priti in Vraja, at least with Krishna's nephews, younger nephews and nieces that are born from Krishna's aunts and uncles in Vrindavan. In fact, those are mentioned in Radhakrishna Gauradesh Deepika. There might also be younger siblings as well, but there are definitely nephews and nieces. Yes. There's no children of Radha and Krishna, no. All right, no, that was another thing. Those would be cousins. Yeah, okay. Okay, Rukmini, you're right. Those would be cousins. But cousins are often, you know, in the Shastra, cousins are like brothers and sisters. You're right, they're not nephews and nieces, they're cousins. Yeah, cousin brothers and sisters. All right, thank you all for correcting me. I'm feeling so happy to have this turning and be corrected like that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So there were younger cousin brothers and younger cousin sisters. Yes, not nephews and nieces. Definitely not nephews and nieces. Younger cousin brothers and younger cousin sisters. Yes. All right. Thank you. So we had this question about the fact that Subhadra's love isn't changed with the killing of Abhimanyu, and that, wait a minute, you know, one of the hallmarks of this rasa is that you feel that Krishna's protecting you. So how is Krishna protecting you? I mean, he's letting your child be killed almost in your presence, and this was Krishna's nephew. I've got it right this time that he's a nephew. So it's a good chance that Abhimanyu was also in Gaurava Priti. So how can a sadhaka cultivate, we had this question, how can a sadhaka cultivate this mood in the six symptoms of surrender, which Prabhupada mentioned earlier on, that we quoted earlier on, that Krishna is always protecting me, when sometimes that protection doesn't look like protection? So any thoughts on this? What does it mean to feel that Krishna is always protecting you? Okay, Vinita.
I often say that Krishna protects our relationship with Him, not really our material body, when it is about sadhakas and our material situations. But what He has in mind is that He removes the obstacles in our relationship between us and Him, and that's the protection for our bhakti. Because anyway, we are not the body, but we have to learn it.
Right, but it's, I mean, that, okay, that's a good point as far as the sadhakas. Thank you. Somebody else? Anybody else? Rukmini just put in the chat, Kshatriya died most gloriously in battle. Being invulnerable would not be a proper Kshatriya. Oh, okay, I like that. If you're invulnerable, you have to be able to die gloriously in battle. It's part of the thing of being Kshatriya. Yes, Kamalini.
Also, to feel Krishna is also my provider, that I don't have to worry, He's taking care of me in that way, particularly.
Yeah, that's actually two different categories of surrender. One category of surrender is that Krishna is my protector, and another category of surrender is Krishna is my maintainer. So I can also see that if Krishna is my father, that He's going to be my maintainer, at least when I'm very young. I might not necessarily think so much of Krishna as my maintainer if He's my older brother than if He's my father. But we're looking here, I mean, that's... I'm glad you made that distinction, but here we're really looking at Krishna as my protector. Prabhupada Priya, some thoughts about this for a sadhaka?
Yeah, just like a parent, because we're talking about Krishna in a parental role, parent sometimes punishes the child, may give them a slap, so it looks like they're causing some harm, you know, and if a person doesn't know that that's the parent, they might feel that they need to protect the child against this adult who's abusing them. But actually the parent protecting them for their own good. So sometimes it seems like Krishna is not protecting us because we're in adverse situations, we're, you know, suffering in different ways, physically or mentally. But that's all part of Krishna's broader plan to try to bring us back to Godhead. So that's actually good for us. That's part of the protection.
I really like that. So this is, again, Dasya Bhav. And in Dasya Bhav, one feels that whatever my master does is good for me. And especially if we have this mood of a parent, that Krishna is my parent or my older brother or my uncle, or that everything he does is good for me. Yes. And yeah, the children might not think, and other adults might not think that. Other adults might not think that this is actually being done out of love. So, very nice. Okay. So we had talked about prema, and now we're going on to more intense, sneha, when the heart melts and one cannot tolerate any separation from the Lord. So this is an example of Prajumna's heart melting, where Krishna says, Prajumna, stop that excessive trembling and relieve your choking voice. Wipe the tears from your eyes and look at me. Give me your hand full of goosebumps. Oh, child, what is this veneration for your father? Now, Krishna's heart's also melting. Then the next stage of intensity is raga. Happiness minus Krishna becomes sorrow. Sorrow plus Krishna becomes happiness. And one will even give up one's life. Now, I remember when I first read this next example in Nectar Devotion, I thought it was just like, whoa, it was just like so tense, that if indicated by his father, Prajumna will immediately drink poison as if it were nectar, and if his father does not permit it, he will reject nectar as if it were poison. So this is raga, and we had a lot of time with discussion, so we're going to skip that breakout room too. Sorry about that. And we're going to go on to... Okay, Vinita said, what is the sequence of these steps after prema? Are they equal for all rasas? The answer is no, they're not the same for all rasas. So in neutrality, we had, what was it, ordinary and intense. So now we're at dasya, and we have prema, sneha, and raga, and we're going to see as we go through the other rasas that they're a little different. It's very complicated in conjugal, which Rupa Goswami does not get into in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He gets into it in Ujjvala Nilamani. I know they're different for each rasa, which is one of the reasons why Rupa Goswami is explaining this in the Stai Bhav portion for each rasa. So in the Stai Bhav portion for each rasa, he's explaining these degrees of intensity as they apply to that particular Stai Bhav. Okay, we're going to go now to the sequence isn't different, but the terms and intensity are different. No, the sequence isn't different. It's not a different sequence, but different level that one can attain. Yes. Sequence is same. Level one can attain is different. And how they're defined is different. Like in neutrality, it's defined as just ordinary and intense. We were saying neutrality, there isn't prema, it stays at bhava. All right, meeting and separation. So ayoga, which literally means subtraction, yoga, which literally means addition, and the two separations, which are longing before ever meeting Krishna, separation after meeting, and then the three kinds of meeting. Perfection, which is the first meeting, trusti, which is meeting after separation, and sthiti, which is steadiness. All right, so a little note here by Rupa Goswami that these terms apply to all types of servitude, to friendship, and parental rasas. So remember, there was a different type of meeting and separation in neutrality, and there'll be a different type in conjugal. All right. So subtraction, which has two categories, again, Ukantikan, longing before ever meeting, and Viyoga, separation after meeting. So we're going to look at Ukantikan, longing before ever meeting the Lord, and Gaurava Priti. So the example is given of Prajumna, who was kidnapped right after his birth. So he says to his wife Rati, he said, "Now I've killed Shambhara, I'm very anxious to see my father." So he hadn't seen his father yet, even though he was grown up and Krishna's son. He had not yet seen Krishna. Okay, separation after meeting in Gaurava Priti. Prajumna says, "Since my father has left Dwarka, I do not take much pleasure in practicing fighting, nor am I interested in any kind of sporting. Dwarka now seems like a prison." Sunyanitam Jagatsaravam Govindavira Hainame. The kinds of meeting. So city, the first meeting, perfection, the first meeting, satisfaction, meeting after separation, and sthiti, steadiness, or eternal association. Okay, so a city is resolves utkantikam. So utkantikam, separation, we haven't met Krishna yet. City resolves that. Now you've met Krishna. So Prajumna hadn't met Krishna when he was in Sambhara city, and when he arrived from Sambhara city, he saw his father for the first time. So though by nature Prajumna was very sober, out of great joy, he forgot himself and he thought, who am I? He didn't even know. Who am I? Look at my father. Satisfaction meeting after separation. So trusti resolves Viyoga. So Viyoga is separation after first meeting, and trusti is satisfaction meeting after separation. And this is, I remember when I first read this, that I thought it was wonderful. When Krishna returned to Dwarka, all of his sons were so overjoyed that out of ecstasy they repeatedly made many mistakes. So we say liberated souls are beyond, they don't make mistakes. And Prabhupada defines mistakes in the Ishapanishad as accidental sins. But they do make charming mistakes, like the gopis put their clothes on upside down. And Radharani tries to churn butter in an empty pot, and Krishna's children, they keep making mistakes because they're so happy to see Krishna. Okay, steadiness, eternal association. So every day, Prajumna looked over Krishna's lotus feet with tears in his eyes. So again, understanding rasa, that there's the primary dominant sthayi bhav, which is acted upon by the emotions of the vyavichari bhavs, and the secondary sthayi bhavs is stimulated by the vibhavs, manifests as the anubhavs and sattvika bhavs, and this whole combination produces rasa or taste. Okay, so we have about 4 minutes. If there's any other general questions or discussion, sorry, we didn't do two of the breakout rooms that I planned because we had more discussions than I had anticipated for. I see Vinetta has a question, but I want to ask anybody else who hasn't said anything yet. We have a number of people who haven't said anything. Any of you have any questions or things that you'd like to... Maharaj, is there anything that you would like to add? Bhakti Dhira Damodar Swami, is there anything that you would like to add from this class today? Any comments that you have or any questions?
Not yet.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Vinetta?
I was thinking how this Vishaya in this Gaurava Priti Rasa, whatever, this perception of Krishna and the qualities that devotees admire, sometimes we find in the relationship, often we find in the relationship between guru and disciple, that the disciple actually sees the guru in such a light as this, the sons of Krishna see him, and that they admire the same things, his power, influence, intelligence, and kindness, and protection.
Well, in fact, the word Gaurava is related to the word guru, seeing Krishna as the ultimate guru,
I just noticed this thing. And then I thought another thing, should we take this the way how the Krishna's family members, Krishna's subordinate family members relate to him as an ideal relationship between sons and parents? Should that be like a template that we should educate our children and raise them up?
Well, that's an interesting question because there are cultural factors. So I would suggest that if people in the modern Western world were to expect the kind of reverence from their children that Prajumna showed to Krishna, that would not be very culturally appreciated. You know, there are some applications according to time, place, and circumstance.
Can we look at it as if Krishna is setting the example how he wants the family to look like? What is his idea of the family?
It's an interesting question. I know I was one of the founding members of the Grihastha Vision team. And one of the things that we concluded, and this was about husbands and wives, rather than parents and children, is that there are individual relationships. And if you say, well, and we find devotees do this, they'll say, every husband and wife have to have this particular kind of relationship. That doesn't work. Just like Kamalini and Apurva, who are on this class. You know, Apurva does, he's the chef, and he does the majority of the cooking in the family. Kamalini can cook, but she doesn't do most of the cooking. So if we say, in every family, the wife should do most of the cooking. Or some of my dear friends, after they had an arranged marriage, and after they got married, the wife went to cook, and it was a disaster. And then one more time she went to cook and it was a disaster. And after 2 times, her husband said, "You are never allowed back in the kitchen." And so she's never cooked after that. Now, she's a very successful businesswoman. They contributed $500,000 to the TOVP. And they're very much partners in preaching. But she doesn't cook. And Prabhupada said the wife should cook. So, you know, I think it's a little difficult to say, well, this is one way. Also, another thing to keep in mind is that Pradyumna is given by Rupa Goswami as the example in the Ashraya category of someone in Gaurava Priti. However, it's a very high likelihood assumption, judging by what we know of the other rasas, that each of the devotees in Gaurava Priti has somewhat of a different relationship with Krishna. I mean, I have three children, and each of my three children has a somewhat different relationship with me. My older son has much more of a reverential relationship with me than my younger son has, for example. And I think that's what it is. I mean, like in Ujjwala Leela Mani, Rupa Goswami describes at least 350 categories of gopis, and he says there's a lot more. And when we go to friendship rasa, then Rupa Goswami says some of the friends are really like to joke with Krishna and insult him, and some of them are not like that. Some of them are much more quiet and respectful. So I'm sure that there's also a variety of parenting relationships. And if we're going to take this as a template, then what are we going to do with Samba? You know, that Krishna's had these favorites among Jambavati's children, and especially Samba was his pet child. And, you know, are we going to say that Krishna's relationship with Samba should be a template? So I think if you're going to say Krishna's relationship with Pradyumna should be a template, then what about with Samba? You're going to have a problem. So I don't... In terms of love, in terms of respect, yes, but in terms of individual things, should all children just look at their parents' feet and never open their mouth? I don't think that would be a reasonable template. Daivasimha Prabhu.
Thank you.
Krishna, Mother, I have two questions, short questions. Mother, first question is that when we hear about this Manasi Seva coming again, like when the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, Brajirada Krishna Manasi Seve, and Srila Prabhupada also mentions it somewhere in NOD. So, at the same time, we discussed that Prabhupada saying that the discussion of the conjugal affairs of Radha Krishna is like Prabhupada didn't encourage it much. So, I mean, so what does this Manasi Seva is actually like? Can a sadhaka do it, or is it, what is the mode of like Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta and Saraswati in that regard? It's the first question.
Okay, well, let's stop there. Let's do one at a time. otherwise, I'll get confused. This topic is really answered in the Eastern Ocean of the Nectar Devotion. So it's really answered in the section on Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So there are two types of Sadhana Bhakti, which is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in Chapter 2 of the Nectar Devotion, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is when, with the main impetus for one's practice of devotional service is faith, and that faith is faith in primarily in Shastra, and may also be faith in Guru. One has a taste. In fact, Rupa Goswami says the qualification for taking up Sadhana Bhakti is taste. So one has a taste, but it's not a specific taste, and it's not the main thing that impels one. In fact, a lot of what impels one is fear. I don't want to take birth again. You know, I don't want to be in Maya. And you'll see that devotees in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, when they preach about Krishna consciousness, their focus tends to be on what's bad about the material world. Their focus tends to be on getting out of Maya. That tends to be their focus, because that is their focus. Their focus is on, I want to get out of illusion. And Krishna's understood, again, there's some taste and there's some attraction, but it's a very general thing. Now, even in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, a person may have some inclination more to one form of Krishna than the other, or at particular pastimes or particular devotees. That may be true even in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But at a certain point, as one becomes purified, Prabhupada says, when most of the anarthas are removed, then one gets a spontaneous realization on the emotional level, not on the intellectual level, of some attraction to a particular relationship with Krishna. And it's very much compared to our physical development, that when we're children, and one day something happens and we're not exactly a child anymore. And it's not just physical, it's also psychological. That psychologically, we get different desires. Our desires change. And, you know, we take out our toys and there's no happiness in our toys anymore. What's motivating us is something different. What's driving us is something different. And this also happens in bhakti, that we get some impression, some emotional impression, some desire impression in a particular rati awakens. It's not rasa yet, it's a particular rati. And when that awakens, then one starts Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti would be particularly at Ruchi and Ashakti, and probably in at least part of Nista. So then one is still following the rules and regulations externally, but within one's mind and within one's heart, one is focusing on the particular, one is doing this Manasi Seva, as you mentioned, one is focused on the particular pastimes that attract one. And that gradually matures and develops, so that at the point of prema, one is actually experiencing rasa. And we previously, at the end of the Southern Ocean, we talked about how some of these emotions, especially some of the secondary sthaibhavs, such as fear and lamentation and ghastliness, may appear to be negative. But those who are in bhava have some idea that they're positive, and those in prema are actually tasting rasa, know that they're positive. Does that answer your first question? Okay.
Second question is that, like, generally we, when a sadhana itself comes into, when one joins the movement, we hear the different goal statements. One goal statement is liberation, one goal statement is getting out of this world in one sense, and one goal statement is Krishna Prem, then one goal statement, not often spoken, but we understand it's Radha Dasyam, especially in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Then, so is this the goal statement being decided by the sadhaka, or is it revealed, or and in the revelation, does Krishna considers the choice of the sadhaka, or is it like I mean, can sadhaka aspire and cultivate any particular sort of goal statement, or is it like totally being controlled by Krishna?
We're not Chinese communists. Chinese communists, they assigned you your occupation. They didn't care what your propensity was. So let's look materially. Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam mayashristam guna karma vivagashaha. One should have an occupation according to one's natural qualities. That's true materially speaking. And Krishna says twice, don't do someone else's work. He said someone else's work is vayavaha, it's a vehicle of fear. So materially, for our conditioned, false, temporary identity, Krishna wants us to earn our livelihood in a way that's in accord with our nature, and doesn't want us to do someone else's work even if we can do it perfectly. That's true materially. Why would Krishna want us to do somebody else's thing in our ultimate spiritual identity? What's most pleasing to Krishna is if we are fully ourselves in his service. Self-realization. Prabhupada uses terms like rejuvenate, remember, revitalize. Certainly it is not assigned. Krishna doesn't say, you know, don't have enough squirrels around here. Hey, Daivasinga, you've got to be my squirrel. Not enough over here. But I don't want to be a squirrel. I want to be a cowboy. Sorry, too bad. I mean, what kind of a god is that? The desire is coming from the soul. Of course, that desire coming from the soul has to have the grace of the Ladini Shakti. So this is a big discussion. To what extent is our particular proclivity for Krishna something that's eternal that we remember, and to what extent is our particular proclivity for serving Krishna the result of our association? This is a very big discussion. Our fellow member of the Shastric Advisory Council, Gopinath Acharya Prabhu, has written a very intense scholarly paper on this topic. And his conclusion is that it's both. It's both due to our association and it's due to something that's inherent to us. But for sure and certain, it is the choice of the soul. For sure and certain, it is the choice of the soul. And for those of us who understand it to be something that's without beginning, how could we say, well, how can there be a choice if it's a beginningless choice? But it's still what the soul is attracted to. Just like we had that example with the Sambrahma Priti, I can't remember if it was Patrak or Patri, where they're around Krishna and his friends, and everybody's joking. And the servant starts to kind of join in with the joking, and then he pulls back, and he's like, no, no, I don't want to have this intimacy. I want to have reverence. So each jiva has a taste they want to taste. Will everybody be Radha-dasya in the sense of that everybody's in Madhurya Bhav serving Radharani? No. Who's going to be the cowherd boys? What about the cows? What about those in Gauravapriti? We talked about previously in Sambrahma Priti, that there are some servants who just serve Krishna's women. Right? We talked about there's some servants who serve Krishna and Krishna's associates, some servants who just serve Krishna, and some servants who just serve Krishna's women. So some just serve Krishna. We had that example that some people didn't like about Prithu Maharaj, where he says, I don't care about the goddess of fortune. I'm going to take over. I'm going to massage her lotus feet. And if she's angry, oh well, too bad. You don't need her anyway.
I mean, then why Lord Chaitanya, while in conversation with the South Indian, like he said that the god of Vaishnavism is superior to that the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. So why these then comparative studies are sometimes done?
Well, we have this, and I'm going to end with this because we're going over time. Yes, Mahalakshmi, I would agree. So why is that? So Ramananda Roy, in his conversation with Lord Chaitanya, and also already stated again in the Southern Ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and you were here for our classes on Southern Ocean? Were you here?
I joined these classes.
So you didn't hear our Southern Ocean classes. So I can't remember exactly which class it's in right off the top of my head, but maybe one of the other members can figure out. I think it was one of the last. It was probably the last Southern Ocean class, because it was definitely about Staibhav. So it was either last or second to last class. Well, Rupa Goswami was saying the same thing that Ramananda Roy says to Lord Chaitanya, that from a detached platform, we can say that there's gradations. From a detached platform, we can say Dasya Bhav, Dasya Ras is is more intimate than Shanta Ras. And Gaurvapriti Dasyaras is more intimate than Sambhramapriti Dasyaras. And Sakyaras is more intimate. Vatsayaras is more intimate. Madhuryaras is more intimate. And Madhuryaras of the gopis is more intimate than Madhuryaras of the queens. And these rasas in Vraja are more intimate than the rasas in Mathura and Dwarka, which are more intimate than the rasas in Vaikuntha. But for each jiva, their proclivity is the best for that person. And we had this discussion in these classes about Shantaras. And somebody was saying, why would anybody want to be in Shantaras where they're not doing service? And where they don't achieve prema? Because they don't want it. And I gave the example that I don't like to eat spicy food. I don't like it. You know, for someone else, if there's no chilies in the food, it's inedible to them. And for me, if there's chilies, it's inedible. So those in Shantaras, they don't want that intensity of prema. They want to stay back. You know, those in Dasyabhav, they don't want the intimacy of friendship. They don't want it. Prajumna's uncomfortable with anything that's not reverential. He's really uncomfortable with it. Even Krishna's saying to him, why are you so reverential? And Prajumna's like, I'm reverential. Rukmini, our scholar, talking about niche construction. Such wonderful people in this class. I am actually the servant of all of you. So it's what one wants. And having this idea of Radha Dasya, if one is only in Vaidhi Bhakti, focusing on that is very dangerous. It's artificial. Maybe you're not in Radha Dasya. And there you'll be meditating on it artificially. And Bhaktivinoda explains that doing that will prevent or hinder, not prevent, but it will hinder the awakening of who you really are. Just like thinking materially. You know, if your parents are pushing you to get into IT and actually you're a musician, it will be very difficult to even realize you're a musician. They never bring any musical instruments home. You're just simply focusing on IT all the time. So for an immature devotee who hasn't yet had some awakening, someone in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti who hasn't had an awakening, to be meditating on a particular rasa, it makes it very difficult for the actual rasa to manifest. So better in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we can understand, yes, you know, our acharyas have said, this is the highest, but it may not be the highest for me. So let me serve Krishna and see what manifests. And when that manifests, then to each jiva, they're really going to feel, this is the highest for me, this is what I want. And when other things are offered, they're going to, no, I don't want that. In fact, Rupa Goswami gives such an explanation as one of the evidences at the end of the Southern Ocean when he writes about this, and he writes about, you know, that everyone is in the best position for them, although there's a sense of higher and lower. And one of the evidences, and Prabhupada talks about this as well, is what is it that's attracting us and what is it that's not attracting us? You know, if we hear about people and if we hear about Prajumna's reverence and we're like, I don't want to be that reverential with Krishna. Oh, awful. Then that, you know, that's an evidence. At least to those who are, you know, at the platform of Raghunuga Sadhana. In Vaidhi Sadhana, it may be due to one's conditioning or whatever. But at Raghunuga Sadhana, it's the evidence that you go, oh, I don't want that. Or someone go, wow, I really want that. Oh, wow. That's the idea that Prajumna is the ashraya. That you hear about Prajumna, you hear about Gada, you hear about Subhadra, and you're like, oh, yes, I want that feeling. Or others will go, no, I don't want that feeling. You can eat that. It's not my taste. All right, we do have to, and now we have gone way over time, which is one of my principles that I do not like to do. I never anticipated we were going to have so many deep discussions on Gaur Vapriti, and I had to jettison two of my breakout rooms. So, thank you very much. Whatever good you have found here has come from Srila Prabhupada and my gurus and Rupa Goswami, and whatever bad I've done is all my own responsibility. Please ignore the bad, and hopefully you can take the good. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.